Hello, this is TV Guide Magazine for September 2nd through 15th. I'm Rachel Renner. We'll get started with Ask Matt. America's top TV critic Matt Rausch answers your burning questions. So the first question is from Rich. He says, "We really enjoyed Elementary. Johnny Lee Miller is the best Sherlock Holmes ever. We're sorry to see that it's over, but we liked the way the last episode ended, and it seemed like it may have left the series open for more episodes should another station or cable channel opt to pick it up. Any chance that may happen? Maybe some two-hour movie specials?" Matt Rausch responds, "Sometimes we should just be thankful for a happy ending. When Sherlock and Watson, played by Lucy Liu, headed back to the NYPD to offer their services, with Sherlock noting, 'As long as we're together, what does it matter?' The implication is that, while the show may be over, their exploits continue. There are no plans to continue the series, and Liu has already booked another TV role in CBS All Access's Why Women Kill. TV movie franchises are rare, so that seems a long shot, but the business is ever-changing, so never say never. And should the network require a comeback, they left the door wide open." The next question is from Riley. The next question is from Michael, who says, "Kelly Riley not receiving an Emmy nomination for Yellowstone should be a crime. The way this talented actress balances vulnerable broken daughter and profanity-laced rage monster is some of the strongest work I've seen on TV in years. She absolutely could hold her own with the other actresses in the supporting category." Matt Rausch responds, "No argument here. Maybe next year, when the category isn't filled with four Game of Thrones stars, she'll get her chance. Riley was even stronger in season 2 this summer." And now for Classic TV Reunion by Kate Hahn. The Brady Bunch comes home. Far out, the kids help HGTV bring their iconic 70s house to life. Who wants to play ball in the house? The grown-up Brady Bunch kids and HGTV's top designers have completed a massive renovation of the home seen in the ABC sitcom's opening shots, just in time for the 1969-74 TV Classics 50th anniversary. Originally, the private residence provided the exterior look of the Brady Place. The interiors, plus the faux grass backyard, existed on Stage 5 at Paramount Studios. Now, for better or worse, depending on how much you like orange and avocado, the 70s decor and architectural elements have been recreated inside. And in this functioning replica, even the toilets work. See how they did it in HGTV's new series, A Very Brady Renovation, starting with a supersized premiere, Monday, September 9th at 9/8 Central, then three weekly hour-long episodes plus a holiday installment. Here's the backstory. The idea. The three-bedroom, three-bath home, located in LA's San Fernando Valley, hit the market in July 2018. In an HGTV development meeting, production exec Robert Wimbish pitched the idea of buying it, which the network did, for $3.5 million, nearly twice the asking price after a bidding war. It's one of the most iconic homes in American history. So when HGTV stepped up, it was like, "Thank you," says Jonathan Scott of the network's Property Brothers. "I would hate to see that piece of Americana go away." He and twin brother Drew grew up in Canada, but loved watching the show in 80s syndication. For the Reno's creative team, they were joined by Good Bones' mother-daughter duo Karen E. Lane and Mina Starciak-Hawk, restored by the Ford siblings, Steve and Leanne Ford, Hidden Potential's Jasmine Roth, and Flea Market Flip's Lara Spencer, and of course, the surviving cast, who hadn't all been together in nearly 15 years. Maureen McCormick, who played Marcia, Eve Plum, who played Jan, Susan Olson, who played Cindy, Barry Williams, who played Greg, Christopher Knight, who played Peter, and Mike Lookinland, who played Bobby. The Reno Plan. The first challenge was how to transform the house, a split-level ranch, into the two-story abode seen on TV. To add an upper floor while preserving the look of the facade, nothing could be visible over the roofline, crews dug down behind the nearly 2,500-square-foot house and built a 2,000-square-foot addition that held the bedrooms. To get the interiors right, a research team analyzed each episode to determine everything from color palettes to placement of furniture. There were no architectural plans left, so they had to figure out the perspectives and the scale by looking at the show, says Plum. Designers also quizzed the actors about the specifics they remembered. Work in progress. We divided and conquered to get this project done in only 6 months, Drew Scott says. Each room, from Mike's den to the Jack and Jill bathroom shared by the boys and girls, was assigned a designer and some of the Brady actors, who strapped on tool belts and assisted with demolition and construction. HGTV crowdsourced to find authentic vintage pieces, like a curio cabinet, the toaster, and the grapes on the coffee table, which all came from fans. And, reveals Olson, we custom printed the wallpaper and the fabrics for the bedrooms and tried to get the colors right. I'm a graphic artist, so it was up my alley. The memories. Nostalgia was a big part of the experience for the cast, who remembered playing on the original set during breaks and shooting favorite episodes. There were bittersweet moments, too, where they felt the absence of the grown-ups who had passed away. Florence Henderson, who played Mom Carol, Robert Reed, who played Dad Mike, and Ann B. Davis, who played singular housekeeper Alice. McCormick recalls getting emotional, looking in the master bedroom closet and seeing the negligees Carol would wear to bed. They were beautiful blues and pinks and lavenders, McCormick says, and when I saw one of those, it was really hard. What's next? The renovated digs have been appraised at $3.9 million, and that does not include the unique furnishings. HGTV has not released any future plans, save for a sweepstakes to win a six-night stay, plus $25,000, which buys a lot of silver platters. Through September 11th, Juana Brady's can submit a 30 to 90 second video via HGTV.com to make the case for why they deserve the prize. But wouldn't a Brady revival be groovy? Probably the thing that is the most enjoyable about this reno, William says, is it's an excuse for us to be together. And now for In the News, three things to know about Dogs Most Wanted. Dwayne Dog Chapman, who spent four decades hunting bail jumpers, a perilous way to earn a living that was chronicled on A&E's popular Dog the Bounty Hunter and CMT's Dog and Beth on the Hunt, is back on the trail. In WGN America's Dogs Most Wanted, he's cuffing some of the country's most dangerous fugitives, and he's searching with more conviction than ever. Keep the following in mind. 1. Higher stakes mean better equipment. Chapman's targets include elusive names on any police blotter. We're going after people accused of sexually assaulting children or attempted murder, he says. So the old dog is using new tricks. Drones and night vision equipment come in handy in the premiere episode's search for a criminal with 68 counts against him, including domestic abuse and fraud. Al Capone didn't have that many, Chapman volunteers. 2. One fight matters most. The show spares nothing in covering Beth Chapman's final battle against cancer. She passed away June 26 at age 51. Scenes of Dog with his longtime love, both in the field and at the hospital, are harrowing. She's there with me now constantly, he says. I feel her all the time. 3. Beware the dog's bite. Given the swirl of emotions he experiences, Chapman ends the 10-episode season collaring criminals for reasons of justice and personal therapy. The finale features Beth's memorial service, plus a bounty hunt. As Chapman told producers, I have to get this guy. I gotta get Beth's death off my mind. By Robert Edelstein. Carol's Second Act, Q&A with Patricia Heaton, premieres Thursday, September 26 at 9:30, 8:30 Central on CBS. Patricia Heaton became TV's favorite mom, playing Everybody Loves Raymond's Deborah Barone and The Middle's Frankie Heck for nearly two decades altogether. But the comedy Carol's Second Act is, in a sense, Heaton's second act. The actress stars as 50-year-old Carol Kenny, a recent medical school graduate starting a new job as a hospital intern. She raised two kids while teaching high school science. When she divorced, she decided it was her turn to live her dream. Now Carol is the old intern, navigating this unfamiliar setting alongside professional peers who are around her children's age. This act comes at the right time for Heaton. After playing a mom for so long, I needed to do something different, but something believable for me that I could relate to, she says. Carol is that project. The interviewer says, "What drew you to Carol's second act?" Heaton says, "Having the middle end just as my kids left the house left me a little unmoored." Heaton has four sons, ages 20 to 26. "Who was I without the identity of a mother or a working actress? I sympathized with Carol going through her divorce, her children grown up, and thinking, what do I do now? I love that she chose something challenging." The interviewer asks, "Why did her marriage end?" Heaton says, "We'll learn where it went wrong. I have a wonderful line in the pilot where I say, my husband went to find himself, and now he's sleeping on his sister's futon, and I'm a doctor, so life is good." The interviewer says, "At its heart, is the show about a woman rediscovering her purpose?" Heaton says, "Yes. There's sadness when your kids leave the house, but also a sense of freedom. I didn't realize the weight of making seven dinners a week," she laughs. "There's a sense that going to medical school is her way of doing self-care." The interviewer asks, "How would you describe this character?" Heaton says, "She's a no-nonsense, pragmatic person. Her personality is right for a doctor because she always loved science. She also was a longtime teacher who had to be organized, dealing with high schoolers and their hormones and emotions." The interviewer asks, "Does she have to school the interns not to be ageist?" Heaton says, "There's an equalizing force that they're all in the same boat. Where age comes in is Carol's experience and wisdom. I think this transition into being a doctor will be easier for Carol because there's nothing like raising kids to put your needs on hold for other people." The interviewer says, "One of the hospital's physicians, Dr. Stephen Frost, is played by Kyle MacLachlan. Tell us about their chemistry." Heaton says, "They're going to be great pals. For now, we're exploring Carol's independence and her newfound status as a doctor, not her love life. It's exciting to work with Kyle. He's so funny and charming." The interviewer says, "You're an executive producer on this, too. Do you have more input on your character than ever before?" Heaton says, "This is the first time I've had any significant input from the ground up. There was no script when I got involved, so it's been interesting to see how the sausage is made. I'm now even more of an admirer of anybody who can make a show happen because it's difficult." The interviewer says, "You're so well known as an award-winning comic actress, but you also played an ambassador in the 2006 miniseries, The Path to 9/11, and your 2015-16 cooking show, Patricia Heaton Parties, won an Emmy. Why did that project end?" Heaton says, "Food Network didn't have room for it on their weekend schedule, but I found it wonderfully challenging and tiring in the best way." The interviewer asks, "Looking back on your roles, do you have a favorite line from one of your shows?" Heaton says, "Around our house, we constantly say, 'Very nice,' because that's what Phil Rosenthal, who created Raymond with Ray Romano, always said in such a lovely way after we would do a scene." By Ileana Rudolph. Mixed Dish premieres Tuesday, September 24th at 9, 8 Central on ABC. The Ish universe expands again. ABC's Black-ish has already spawned Freeform's Grown-ish, with this prequel following biracial Black-ish mom Rainbow as a 12-year-old. Young Beau, as she's nicknamed, and siblings Santa Monica and Johan move with their free spirit parents, Alicia and Paul, played by the haves and have-nots Tika Sumpter and Mark Paul Gosselaar, from hippie commune to the suburbs, where the kids quickly find they don't fit in with either their black or their white schoolmates. Even on Blackish, we haven't completely explored being mixed, says exec producer and narrator Tracy Ellis Ross, a.k.a. Adult Beau, on the original. This is an opportunity to unpack that in a much larger way. Mid-80s headlines, things like the Challenger explosion, drugs and affirmative action, per exec producer Karen Gist, will be incorporated in a relevant yet funny way. But the title's subject matter is apparent from the get-go. Mariah Carey, who is biracial, belts the catchy theme, In the Mix. A guest spot could be next. She's expressed interest, confirms Gist. It would be fantastic. Or, at the very least, fantastic-ish. By Jim Halterman. Back to Life premieres Sunday, October 6th at 8:30, 7:30 Central on Showtime. What if you returned home after serving 18 years in prison for a crime you committed as a teen? Getting a second chance isn't easy for hapless and likable murderer Miri, played by Episode's Daisy Haggard, who nonetheless tries to rebuild her life in this Showtime comedy, Yes, You Will Laugh, set in a British seaside village where everybody knows everything about everyone, or so they think. Details of the crime are revealed in each episode as the 30-something Miri, now living with protective mom Carolyn, played by Geraldine James, an oblivious but loving dad, Oscar, played by Richard Durden, earnestly and optimistically pursues the simplest things. A job, a piece of celery that actually crunches. Her return also exposes secrets of her neighbors and ex-boyfriend Dom, played by Jamie Michi. There are moments of ridiculous and humor. Other times, it's genuinely sad and moving, says Haggard, who interviewed female former prisoners about what it was like to re-enter society. It's about relationships, and that lends itself to comedy. By Kate Hahn. Perfect Harmony premieres Thursday, September 26th at 8:30, 7:30 Central on NBC. Bradley Whitford and Anna Camp are making sweet music together. The West Wing favorites... The West Wing favorite plays down on his luck Arthur Cochran. After his wife's death, the former music professor is ready to end it all when he stumbles into a choir rehearsal at a small town church. Somehow, he gets roped into helping the congregation's oddball singers, led by single mom Jenny, played by Pitch Perfect's Camp, prep for a competition. I would call them the bad news bears of church choirs, series creator Leslie Wake Webster says. This is a ragtag underdog group that takes all comers. Competitive, misanthropic Arthur is determined to whip these warblers into songbirds in order to show up a rival megachurch. But he'll learn a thing or two from his students as well, says Webster, who based the character on her own grandfather. Perfect Harmony is about the power of music to bring people who are very different together, she says. If you stand with other people and sing, no matter what their beliefs are, it's really hard to dislike them. By John Russell. Dollface premieres Friday, November 15th on Hulu. Kat Dennings goes from two broke girls to one broken-hearted girl in an immensely relatable comedy that plays like a scrappier LA-based Sex and the City, just with Ally McBeal-ish fantasy sequences and less expensive shoes. Thrown back into the world of singledom after a brutal breakup, Dennings' Jules tries reuniting with two best friends, played by Brenda Song and Pretty Little Liars Shay Mitchell, she all but abandoned for the dude. But first, she has to relearn how to actually function around her fellow women. We wanted to show female friendship and dive into those relationships with as much detail as the thousands of movies and TV shows and love songs that exist about romantic relationships, says first-time exec producer Jordan Weiss. But don't file this away as a for-the-ladies-only effort. There are some male characters, says Weiss, laughing. We did let men on camera at times. By Damien Holbrook. Bless the Hearts. Premieres Sunday, September 29th at 8:30, 7:30 Central on Fox. The Simpsons, the Belchers, and the Griffins have a new Sunday night neighbor, the Hearts, who just might remind them of an old one, the Hills. I also wanted to do a King of the Hill-type show, but set in North Carolina with female leads, says Bless the Hearts creator and homesick Tar Heel State native Emily Spivey. Kristen Wiig voices Jenny Hart, a small-town single mom raising clever daughter Violet, played by Jillian Bell, with the help of her own scatterbrained mother Betty, played by Maya Rudolph, and lovable boyfriend Wayne, played by The Mindy Project's Ike Barinholtz. Spivey, who wrote an episode of the Texas set King of the Hill, says Bless the Hearts will be similar in that it's a little more grounded than Fox's other off-the-wall cartoons. Upcoming story points. Black Friday, a protest over a public statue, the finer regional distinctions of Carolina barbecue, and Betty's scorching affair with a beach musician. In fact, aside from an occasional foray into the surreal, Spivey says, this will truly be more of an animated Andy Griffith show. By John Russell. Bluff City Law, Q&A with Jimmy Smits, premieres Monday, September 23rd at 10, 9 Central on NBC. In the 1980s, Jimmy Smits broke new ground as L.A. Law's principled attorney Victor Cifuentes and won an Emmy for his efforts. Since then, he's played heroes in NYPD Blue's Bobby Simone, villains, Dexter's murderous lawyer Miguel Prado, and all the complex characters in between, Sons of Anarchy's gangbanger-turned-brothel owner Nero. Now Smits returns to the moral high ground as a civil rights titan Elijah Strait in this powerful legal drama. A pillar of the Memphis community, Elijah has dedicated his professional life to cases that have social impact. But privately, he's also a flawed man, having been unfaithful to his wife and become estranged from his daughter Sydney, played by Caitlin McGee. As the series opens, she returns to work at her dad's law firm after her mother's sudden death. Smits fills us in. The interviewer says, what is Elijah's relationship like with Sydney? Smits says, there's tension finding their way back to each other, not only on an emotional personal level, but also in the way they deal with the law. She made a conscious choice to work with big corporate firms that handle what one may call the other side, and she's become very good at it. When she comes back to the firm, she has to grapple with that. The interviewer asks, does her arrival cause disruption? Smith says, it does cause bumps because there are people, fellow attorneys played by Jane Atkinson and Michael Luowi and Mam Yai Boafo as a private investigator, who were at the firm and remember the rift between them when she left. There are new colleagues, a lawyer played by Barry Sloan and legal researcher played by Stoney Blyden, who want to position themselves in a certain way in the structure of the firm and now have to deal with this family member who is a great lawyer. Her return creates a lot of good stuff and a lot of tension, and it keeps the relationships between the characters very messy as they continue to do cases that matter. So you have this great juxtaposition of character complication and aspirational topics that the show deals with. The interviewer says, you've been in the business for 35 years and starred in many series, including The West Wing and 24 Legacy. Do you still get nervous when you start a new role? How are you feeling now? Smith says, I emailed the creators saying, I'm nervous tingly inside, but in a great way, because the writing is solid and I really got a sense of who each of these characters were in the pilot. Plus, the vibe among the cast is wonderful, maybe because they all have strong theater backgrounds. The interviewer says, the show is filmed on location in Memphis. How does Bluff City become a part of the story? Smith says, With regard to the show's social cases, this city has a civil rights history with both the beauty and tragedy of it. I'm actually looking out at the strong currents of the Mississippi River as the barges go up and down. The murals everywhere, it's not like they're forgetting these things. Does the city have problems? Yes, that they grapple with to this day. That's all going to be fodder for storylines. The city becomes more than just a backdrop. The interviewer asks, "What do you enjoy most about working in Memphis?" Smith says, "The food and the music." After a 5-minute conversation, you'll get the question, "Which barbecue do you go to?" That's your Memphis creed. That's your Memphis cred. As for music, whether you're talking about Stax Records, the blues, rock and roll, or Elvis, the history is everywhere. The interviewer says, "You recently wrapped work on the film version of Lin-Manuel Miranda's first Broadway hit, In the Heights, about Upper Manhattan's Latinx community. So we'll hear Jimmy Smith sing in theaters come June 26, 2020? Smith says, "I blow a couple of notes, and I don't mean blow like mess them up. I'm in there. I had a blast. It was like being in boot camp during the music and dance choreography stuff. I felt like I was back at grad school when I was at the ballet bars at 6:30 in the morning. I'm very tired, but you know what? Rest is overrated." By Ileana Rudolph. All Rise premieres Monday, September 23rd at 9, 8 Central on CBS. Viewing the justice system through a different, hopeful lens is the MO of this LA-set courtroom drama starring Poise Simone Missick as newly appointed Judge Lola Carmichael. Lola sees the person first, not the crime, executive producer Greg Spottiswood says. In the pilot, she forces a trial even though the defendant, who she believes is innocent, has accepted a plea deal. "We're always looking for the Lola coaster moment," he explains, "when she decides to turn left instead of right. If she inadvertently breaks something, she has to adjust because somebody's freedom is at stake." The ensemble cast includes CSI favorite Marge Helgenberger as supervising judge Lisa Benner, a once progressive trailblazer who initially tries to rein Lola in, and Heart of Dixie alum Wilson Bethel as prosecutor Mark Callan, Lola's equally passionate former colleague in the district attorney's office. While the two are at different places in their lives, Lola is married, Mark's a bit of a playboy, their bond is strong. Says Spottiswood, "They are each other's conscience." By Mandy Beerley. And that's all for today. I'm Rachel Renner.